The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back, TNT, 9:32 on the nose. This is the first hour of Human Impact, and joining me on the air right now is Ms. Charmaine Granger. And in celebration of International Women's Day, following into the leadership conference, Women's Leadership Conference that we'll be broadcasting here on Freedom 106.5 FM, we wanted to talk to Ms. Granger a little bit about her life. So I want to say good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome. So
thank you very much.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how are you differently abled and how were you able to manage?
Okay, I was born 52 years ago. I have my legs wasn't fully developed as a child, as a fetus, so I cannot walk on it. Yeah.
Okay. So is there like a term for it, or is it...
There is a medical term, but it's pretty hard to
It's a mouthful.
Yes, but they call it club feet. That's okay. The easiest definition for it, club feet.
And life as a differently abled mother, I understand that you're a mother of two boys. How was that like? You know, with boys to her, because I've got a girl. Boys are different growing up. How did you manage?
Well, it took a village, which is me and my mom and their aunts and uncles. Because most of the time I was a single mother, you know. We grew up in a tough neighborhood, but I always told them that their neighborhood should not define them. And that they had to take their education very seriously, because only education can make you rise out of anything. Any situation that you're in. So they took their education very seriously. One went to CIC and the other went to Trinity College.
Excellent. And growing up as with the boys, you know, boys could be boys and they teasing and so on. How did they deal with that? Did you speak to them about that kind of, the expectation that they may be teased on your disability?
Yes. As I said earlier, my family treated me no different, so they didn't see a difference in treatment of me. My friends are also the same thing. They are disabled blind when it comes to me, so they didn't see a difference. But I always told them that my disability cannot change. So you're going to hear your mother is a cripple, your mother cannot walk, your mother this, your mother that. Those are just words. And fairly, they're not saying a lie. So you cannot be upset about it. This is what the cards I was dealt with, and these are the cards that you were dealt with, having a disabled mom. And that's how I dealt with it.
And this encouraged, I guess, greater self-esteem amongst the boys and to prepare them for the difficulties that are outside there in the world, you know, growing up with different opinions and the way that people deal with things. I guess this was good preparation for them.
Yes, because I also taught them about having respect for other minorities. You know, gay people, people of different races, people of different religion, to always be tolerant, because at the end of the day, we are all people.
And we all have to exist in this one space, this lovely space called Trinidad and Tobago.
yes, we do.
In terms of being a single mother with a disability, can you tell us about your experiences, those things that you experienced that you would like to see changed for disabled mothers out there?
You know, I don't think I would change anything, you know, because... in that aspect, I don't think I saw anything different. They didn't treat my boys different because their mother was disabled or anything. If they got in trouble, I was called in. I showed up for meetings. And so I guess the only thing is my nemesis is stairs.
Accessibility.
So, right. So meetings would have had to change especially in Trinity College, they had to change the meeting place to downstairs where, you know, I could attend and stuff like that. But these schools usually work around the parents with disability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I was having phone conversations and stuff before COVID. So if I couldn't show up, teachers would call me on my phone. They would email the information. I'm not getting homework from Tehran. I'm not getting this from Tyree, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was before COVID. So and that's how I dealt with it.
In terms of, accessibility has been an issue for the differently abled in Trinidad and Tobago for quite some time. Have you seen any improvements from there, or would you like to say that you see things still need to be improved upon?
While there are vast improvement from me being a child, from a child to adult, there's stipulation has passed where buildings had to have ramps now. You must have a disabled bathroom and things like that. That is fine. The only thing I see going back is parking, because some establishment now is saying that if the person that is driving isn't disabled, then we cannot use the disabled park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I find that's going back because many of us can't drive. We use drivers to take us around, family members or however.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to tell us that we cannot use the disabled park because we are not driving, I find that is a going back rather than going forward.
Well, this is news to me. I thought it applied to the people in the car, the participants in the car, not necessarily the driver. But I thought it would be understood that there is a differently abled person in the vehicle that needs to be parked.
This rule is changing now. I mean, and let me give you an instance. I think I went to Long Circle Mall has this rule now. And the thing about it is that parking in the disabled spot, it's more accessible for crutches and wheelchairs because the normal park is a bit slimmer.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that we cannot use that park unless you are the driver, it just doesn't make sense to me and to other disabled people.
And then have you ever experienced experience of trying to prove that you are disabled and you should be parking in that spot? I mean, it's a strange question. Really?
Sometimes. Because remember, my disability is my legs.
Right.
So my upper part looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times I have to pump the trunk to show that my wheelchair in there.
Wow.
You know, many occasions.
So is it, because I would expect that you would have a sign or something inside of your car, like a tag that is visible should be.
I think I got one from Marcy Stores a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really looks for that sign, you know. Nobody really looks. It's not, it's not a law here as it is away or in the states and other places. So disabled people and the cars that we use don't usually have that. I don't think, no. Probably the drivers who own their own vehicle, who drive, the disabled people, they probably have that. But for us who have to use other, sometimes public transport or friend to drop us, we wouldn't have that.
So that would be one of the things that they would need to look into, getting those tags done so that it can be visible in cars, so that security could be familiar with it and say, all right, you're allowed to park here and not give you any stress. That would be one of the things. Are there any other solutions that you can think of that, especially in place for women, that you would like to see come to fruition in the coming years?
Just to continue making it accessible for us, because we are as normal as we can be. We are playing the cards that we are dealt with to the best of our ability. So nothing should keep us away from getting what we want and what any other woman would want.
Mm-hmm.
Be it a housing, going to see about documents, just make everything accessible and smooth.
Mm-hmm. Ease of business again. So everyone wants ease of business in Trinidad and Tobago, better way of doing things, deliverables, etc.
Right. No long waiting, because when we, some of us, we have to, we always have to consider the bathroom. When people, when you, when normal people can go and come, we, every establishment that I go to, sometimes I let somebody go and see before I go, because of where the bathroom is placed, if the wheelchair can fit, if the doors are wide enough. You know, so those are things that I have to kind of do a free sweep.
Yeah.
And visit these places.
This is, I mean, the thing is, when you're not in that position, you kind of take a, for granted the things that you wouldn't notice unless you're in the position. And I sometimes notice that, you know, the bathrooms themselves, especially for women, on, I mean, it's not all up to par for women, but then when you take it to the level of accommodating the differently abled in our society, bathrooms are too small. The, you know, the access to the sinks are too high. If it is that, let's say you're in a wheelchair.
Yes. I recently went to the port to clear a wheelchair, and to sign, it's a high counter. The lady called my name. They have this thing that they can, they could only see above that like a tape that is a reflective tape, so they cannot see anything below that. So I'm like, I'm right here, I'm short, I'm right here. So those are little things that still, you know,
still need to be improved upon. So new buildings coming up ever so often, contractors need to really take into consideration the differently abled to make sure that the, you know, like you said, the counter space is not as high, your access to bathrooms and houses as well, because they tend to build for, want of a better term, normal people. And then the houses are not really adapted to the differently abled in terms of entrance and access and so on. So contractors, if you're listening, please put it into your sites, architects as well, to build for the differently abled, so that, you know, everybody can find a space. And going back to your support system of family and close relatives and friends, can you tell us more about how that system has helped you through the years?
Well, it's helped my psyche, because I was never treated different. I was never treated different by friends, from schoolmates to neighbors, to family members. I was never treated. I had to fight the same fight, you know?
Yeah.
I was never treated different.
Right,
like, I just, my from a very young age, my Auntie Rosa told me that this is the cards I've been dealt with, and I have to make full use of the life that is given. There's no rules to life.
And to live it to the fullest.
Live it to the fullest.
So any other words of encouragement that you'd have for young people who are dealing with the realization that they may have found out that they're disabled, and thinking about how to, as you say, live life? Can you give any words of encouragement to them?
Just know that you are here for a purpose. And if it takes your whole life figuring out what that purpose is, sometimes we don't even know our purpose. Sometimes we enlighten other people. People say, oh my God, she could do that. Well, how come I not doing that? You might not hear it. You might not see how much people that you touch by just being out there and living your life as normal as you can. You don't know. It have people that have everything are not happy. Money, big house, they're not happy. So we have to live in gratitude always, because we do not know when we're going to breathe our last breath.
Very true. Well, Ms. Granger, I would have thanked you. Well, I thank you very much for taking the time to come out and talk about your life as a differently abled woman. And, you know,
the best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.